You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by the MLB.com Shop.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to MLB.com Extras. I'm Matthew Leach talking Baltimore Orioles with MLB.com's Orioles beat reporter, Brittany Giroli. But the Orioles made kind of an unexpected move within the last few days, finalized it today as we speak, bringing in Everett Cabrera. They're set at second base. They're set at shortstop. How does Cabrera fit into this roster?
Well, what they could do, what they hope to do, is have another utility guy. He's going to get some looks at infield early on in spring, and then he's going to be in the outfield a little bit later on. They feel like with his defensive skills, having a guy who can back up shortstop J.J. Hardy, having a guy who can back up at second base, and prove that he's at least capable of playing some corner outfield, could be a real weapon for them. I mean, this is a guy who stole 99 bases over the last three seasons, adds a different element to their roster. So I think he's challenging for that utility role. Ryan Flaherty is probably a guy who he's in direct competition with right now. They could do some interesting things if he can play outfield. Do they need David Lowe if he can play the corner outfield spot? So it presents a little bit of an unusual roster makeup, but keep in mind this team has done unusual things in the past, and they have Chris Davis suspended for opening day, so there's going to be a lot of changes in that first few days for the Orioles.
As much as they like scope, given that Cabrera has been a pretty capable defender at short, you think he might be a plus defender at second. Is there an opportunity for Cabrera to play himself into, if not a primary job at second, at least a decent number of innings at second based on his defense?
Oh, sure. But then the question is, how much do you want to limit scopes? You know, improvement. Do you want to see what you have in Jonathan Scope? Do you want him to continue to get consistent at bats, or do you want him to turn into a little bit more of a platoon situation? So I think there's a chance he can get more at bats at second base and establish himself a little bit more, and that's going to depend on how he's doing, how Scope's doing, but certainly there is a chance for Cabrera to fit in that manner.
The other news today from camp was Chris Davis taking some time to chat with people. Where do you see him at, just sort of generally? I mean, he's an interesting case because he was having a really rough year even before his suspension last year. Seems like more than anybody, that's a guy who can really benefit just from turning the page and having a new season.
Yeah, I mean, he was really good when we spoke to him today, Matthew. Last month at FanFest, he wasn't quite as good, wasn't quite as open and honest a little bit about the things that are going on. That exemption now is not for Adderall. It's for a form of Adderall that he's will be able to help him a little bit better on the field and off the field. And he's a guy who pretty much admitted that having all that success in 2013, last year he was kind of left to wonder, should he do everything exactly the same? Should he change anything? And you know, I think a lot of that mentally took a toll from having such a monster year in 2013. Then he got hurt early in 2014. He never really looked right at the plate. So this year it's almost better. Some guys thrive from being counted out. And Chris Davis, certainly, a lot of people are wondering, can he ever get back to where he was? So that could actually be better for him mentally. He seems to be in a good place. He's apologized to his teammates already last year. All of that feels like it's behind him, and he's only got one more game left on that suspension. So Chris Davis is a huge part of the team. He's a huge piece, and he seems to be pretty relaxed compared to where he was when he was with the team last year during the playoffs.
Do you think a season sort of somewhere in between 13 and 14 is a pretty reasonable? I mean, obviously somewhere in between. He's almost certainly not going to do one of those two, but kind of split the difference is probably a pretty reasonable expectation for what Davis can produce in 15.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I would guess. He's not quite as good as he was in 2013, and he's not as bad as he was last season. So when you look at what he was able to do last year, that batting average stands out to me. He's not a 196 hitter. I know he was very proud of his batting average, what he was able to do in 13, the consistency he was able to show.
Even when the power came and went, he was still able to contribute to them.
And I think he's still going to be a contributor this year as well. But
again, like you said, it's going to be in the middle ground. He's still a very solid player. He's going to be a big part of what the Orioles are doing, but he's not going to go on that historic run every year. I mean, that's just ridiculous to think that he would.
You touched a couple minutes ago on David Lowe, who I think is a really interesting player and potentially a really valuable player for a club that hits home runs but doesn't always get on base. What kind of opportunity is there for him if he's healthy and productive? How much of a chance is there for him with this club coming out of the gates?
Well, there's two different camps, really. On one side, you could say that he could be ideal Tracy because they have Orlando De Anza. They have Travis Snyder. They've got guys who can play out there in the outfield. I mentioned Cabrera. They're going to use him some. They're going to use Donnie Young some. Steve Pierce is a guy who can play in the outfield and is going to get regular at bat. So where does David Lowe fit in? Maybe his best bet is fitting in another organization. He certainly could do that. Now, Buck seems to think, or at least probably seems to state that he's a piece of what they're doing. And in that regard, he could help them defensively. I know he struggled offensively, but they felt like that concussion he had last spring really carried over. So he could end up being a guy who plays left field, one of their only true backup center fielders if something happens with Adam Jones. He could platoon a little bit in left field there, but there's not a clear-cut role for him, which is why it's interesting. Cabrera's going to play outfield. If Cabrera ends up being a utility guy and they determine that Ryan Flaherty has a spot on this team, does David Lowe have a chance to get any kind of playing time? Does he serve any kind of role at that time? I don't know. Again, there's a lot of things they can do because they have to make a roster move after their first game for Chris Davis. There's a lot of interesting different ways they can maneuver around. They can have an extra bat for a game. They can have an extra pitcher for a game and kind of figure it out and go from there. But right now, his role is really, really unclear.
And then another guy you mentioned, Comiskey, is Steve Pierce, who, again, is kind of an interesting position, a guy who was really a big part of this club, especially second half last year. And you wrote this week that he's going to kind of bounce around some. It looks like he would be the primary DH, but how many different ways might they use Pierce both this spring and this season?
Well, he could use it for his base, and he very well could be the opening day guy there, like I said, with David being suspended. He's going to be used at DH, as you mentioned, the corner outfield spot. Also, Buckets threw out the idea of wanting him to get some reps at their base, and it's something that I asked Buck about again yesterday, and he said that early on in spring, not as much. We're going to move Pierce around, but it's not out of the question that he gets some time at third base this spring just because they're another option. I think he deserves consistent at-bats, and if they have to move him around for the Orioles to be competitive and for Steve Pierce to get there, that's what they're going to do. He really graduated last year from being just that platoon guy to being a big part of the Orioles. And it's funny to watch him this spring. You would think that he's trying to make the team. He's just that kind of guy. His mindset hasn't changed at all. He's used to just fighting for his life every spring, which is good to see. But he's really developed into a quiet leader for this team.
And then, of course, the big question around this team remains Manny Machado. He's been there for a while. I'm sure you haven't actually seen him play baseball. We've seen him bouncing around, I assume. Anything to note as to kind of how he looks like he's moving right now this early in camp?
Nothing in particular. He looks normal is probably the best thing I can say. If you didn't know he was coming off of a knee surgery, you wouldn't know. He's running fine. They were doing, drills today, field relay drills. He messed up one of the relays. The guys were getting on him, just kind of like old times again, it seems like. He just looks happy to be back on the field. I mean, he hasn't played a full season since, 2 years ago. That's a long time for a kid that's only 22 years old. Had a lot of success when he came up. He's dealt with back-to-back season-ending knee surgery. So I think he kind of realizes how special this is. And Davis mentioned this earlier to us this morning, that some of these guys don't realize how much fun it is to do what they're doing, and they kind of take it for granted until it's taken away from them. And Manny Machado had baseball taken away from him for a long time, and I think he's just grateful to be out there and back on the field. And he's not going to have any restrictions on him, so there's no reason not to think that he's going to be in that opening day lineup.
And his fellow rehabbing star, Matt Wieters, how's he coming along?
Well, he's a little slower than Manny. Now, the date for him is March 17th. That's 9 months after his surgery. Will he be cleared to throw full throttle down to the bases? And because of that and how late it is, you're talking about halfway through March, they're going to find ways for him to catch to keep his life fresh. Now, whether that's an inter-squad game, whether that's a B-League game, a minor league game, something, that will require Matt Wieters to still catch and maybe not throw all the way down to second base. Just either let the run game happen, have some kind of agreement Buck has talked about with the other team, where they say, hey, let's play this as a B game, we're not going to run. But they want Matt Wieters' last step to be throwing. They want his legs to be fresh. They want the first game he catches in spring training to be 5 or 6 or even 7 innings. It's too late by March 17th to start catching.
pitching the guy only 3 innings. A lot of it's going to go based on the feel, how Leaders is doing, how his body is responding. But so far, so good. They feel like there's still a chance. He'll be ready right around opening day.
All right, well, Brittany Giroli, thanks for taking some time to chat with us here on MLB.com Extras, and thanks everybody for listening.
Visit the official online shop of Major League Baseball at MLB.com/shop for the largest selection of authentic caps, t-shirts, jerseys, hoodies, collectibles, and more. Get your gear straight from the source, the MLB.com shop.